So yeah, as Nick said, my name's Luke. For those who don't know me, I know I don't know lots of you, but I'm getting to know some of you. A little bit about me. So I've lived in London for 13 years, which sounds like a long time to me. That's my whole of my adult life. But I know for many of you, living in London for 13 years sounds like a very short amount of time. And I've lived within 5 minutes walk of this building for 10 of those 13 years on and off. So many times I've walked past this building praying that God would do an extraordinary work in and through the congregation in this building. So this is quite a surreal moment to be able to speak from God's word here with you all. So thank you for hearing me, and I trust that God will use me to bless you this morning. As I said, my wife Sarah down the front, we've been married for 10 years and we've got two little children who have had their birthdays either side this weekend. So Isabel and Sammy, who if you're not sure who they are, they're the red-headed children running around. So today we're going to be talking about boasting. Okay, the dictionary definition of boasting is to talk with excessive pride or self-satisfaction about one's achievements, possessions, or abilities. You've got their dictionary definition. Other words you could use for boasting are brag or showing off or gloating. And I need some audience participation here. How would you describe someone, one word, someone who's a boaster? If you know someone who's boasting, how might you describe them? Don't worry, you're not going to have to name their names or anything like that. One word.
Annoying,
proud. Yeah. Any others? Show off. Yeah. I thought of like arrogant.
Diva.
Diva. There we go. That's a few to get us going. So there's some bad ways, I think, when we negatively think of boasting. But then there's also positive ways that we boast. You might boast that you cooked an amazing meal this week. Joe was boasting about some of the exam results that we've got here. You might boast about finding a great bargain in the shops. I've got two small children, so boasting about 8 hours sleep is definitely a boast to me. So I guess that boasting, it depends on the context and what you're boasting on. That's the reality with boasting. It's not all bad. Interestingly, it's often with pride and self-satisfaction. That is not good. And the passage that Leonie so beautifully read, Paul, who was one of the apostles, he was writing to the church in Philippi, and he was trying to help them respond to the boasting, legalistic religious people. The people who care more about how they perceived, more concerned about keeping to rules above all else. I definitely know there's definitely times where I boast because I want to make myself look more impressive. And I'm sure you are more humble than me and don't do that. But boasting essentially was one of the things. It stems from pride. Being proud of who we are, what we've done, what we achieve. And as followers of Jesus, we're not called to be proud. We're called to be humble. Because we know and understand that we've not been saved by anything that we've done. We've been saved by Jesus, the Son of God, humbling himself. And we're supposed to take on his example and humble ourselves. So of the passage that Leonie read, we're going to be focusing on verses 2 and 3. I'm just going to read them again quickly. I'm going to read them in two versions, the ESV version, which is more like a traditional translation of the Bible, and then a version which you may have heard called the Message, which is like a paraphrase. But I think they both will really help us understanding the scripture. So this is from the ESV version. It says, "Watch out for the dogs, those evil doers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh." This is how the Message puts it. It says, "Steer clear of the barking dogs, those religious busybodies, all bark and no bite. All they're interested in is appearances, the knife-happy circumcisers, I call them. The real believers are the ones the Spirit of God led to work away at his ministry, filling the air with Christ's praise as we do it. We couldn't carry this off by our own efforts, and we know it." So where Paul starts this passage is he's warning the Christian believers, the true believers of these religious people. He's using really strong language. He's describing them as dogs, and it was actually because the religious people used to call the non-religious people that. That's what they used to call them, because they were outside of the law. They would call them like dogs. So he's using it ironically to say that they are the actual dogs. They're getting caught up in all this stuff. And he's warning the Christian believers not to be concerned about the appearance or the legalism. He doesn't want them to get caught up in that. Now, I don't know about you, but it sort of reminds me of our society. Not necessarily about religious people, but you only have to watch the news just ever so slightly to see politicians boasting about themselves. Or go on social media to see people virtue signaling about any cause they want to make themselves look good, to condemn others. Or go in any pub, gym or school playground and hear people boasting about how good they are or how impressive they are. It's all around us, not in the same way that it was back then, but we see people love making themselves look great. Paul's writing to this church and now to us to say, don't get caught up in all of this nonsense. And he knows it firsthand. He says later in the passage that before he followed Jesus, that he was the most religious, legalistic man around. So much so that he even persecuted the church. He was killing Christians before he came to know Jesus. Those religious Jewish people, they were fixated on the law of the Old Testament. And Paul said that he kept it to the letter. Above all, he was the best at it. So this unbelievably religious man who had status in the Jewish society, had power, says in verse 7 of the passage we read, whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Jesus Christ. None of what he had even stacked up in the comparison of knowing Jesus. He was prepared to lay down his status, his power, and even said he calls them garbage, rubbish, that he might gain Christ. Now, a question for us to think about this morning is, are we more concerned about knowing Christ than anything else? Or do we get caught up in the things of this world? It reminds me of Jesus' encounter. You might know it with the rich young ruler, it says. And you can read two accounts of that. There's one in Mark 10 and one in Matthew 19. And this young man, he comes up to Jesus and is basically telling Jesus how impressive he is, how he keeps to the letter of the law. And then what he does, he says, and Jesus, what can I do to get into heaven? And Jesus responds by telling him to give everything away. He has to go and sell everything he has and follow him. And this man who had everything, who followed the letter to the law, goes away sad. Because Jesus saw his pride. Jesus saw through the facade that he put up, this religious facade. He's not impressed by outward appearances, how successful we are, how good we are as people, how good we are at keeping rules. Jesus cares about what's in our heart, how we actually live out what we believe, how the gospel has affected our lives, where we place our hope. So we look at verse 3, which I think will come up on the screen. It says, this is talking about us now. That's kind of like the bit of the reality. This is the bit that I hope will encourage you now. I see lots of somber faces, but don't worry. We're getting somewhere good. We're getting somewhere good. Don't worry. I'm not always this serious as well. So verse 3 says, it is we who are the circumcision, we who have served God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Paul here is using more language that the religious people would have used to hammer home their points, but he's using it to hammer home his point. When he's saying we are the circumcision, he's basically saying we are the real or true believers. We are the ones who are actually holy because we put our hope in Jesus. And then he lays out what true believers look like. They serve, or that word in other translations in the original language was worship. So they serve or worship God in the Spirit. And they boast in Jesus, not themselves. He's given us two keys, basically, not to be sucked into worldly ways of thinking. So key number one, and I think I've got a picture of a key, just in case. There we go. Key number one. We must serve and worship God. When we sought forgiveness and put our trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit does a work in us that helps us live to glorify God. We are all made to worship. It's just what we choose to worship is on us. I've heard it often described as like a garden hose with the tap on. The water coming out is like our worship, our time, our money, where we put our focus. So that water's always on, and we get to choose where we direct it. The Holy Spirit helps us to point it on Jesus. It's easy to get distracted, but the Holy Spirit helps us to focus on him. We need to be prepared to put things aside that we are holding on to, things that the world values. We don't want to get focused on watering areas where there's weed growth, where things grow up that just grow big and strong and take over gardens. We want to focus on areas that bring life and bear fruit. Now, in some ways, these could be really practical steps. What does it mean to like serve and worship God? It's not just putting out chairs or doing the words or singing music. It can be simple things like worshiping God, like could be giving up a night of watching TV and spend it reading your Bible and praying. Controversial, I know. It could be that you cook a meal next week but cook an extra portion to bless somebody. It could that you come and pray on Tuesday evening with us as we seek to see God move in power. It could be just as simple as giving someone a call to ask if you can pray for them. Someone who maybe you haven't spoke for in a while. Simple things. They aren't impressive things, but they are simple ways of serving and worshipping our God. They help us get our priorities fixed off of ourselves and onto him. Then our second key is that we boast in Jesus, not ourselves. When we start boasting in Jesus, it's a demonstration that we've understood our place in God's story and not his place in ours. We are part of a big narrative of what God is doing on this earth. He is not a small part of what is going on in our lives. If we go back to that definition of what I was saying of boasting, it was to talk with excessive pride and self-satisfaction about one's achievements, possessions, or abilities. For us, as believers, I think it should be something more like to talk with excessive pride and satisfaction about what Jesus has done for us. Excessive pride and satisfaction about Jesus and what he's done for us. By putting our faith in Jesus and following him, we receive forgiveness and eternal life. Now, I saw a tweet from someone I follow on social media who's a believer, and it really, he'd lost his mum 2 years ago. And he was just remembering her anniversary. And he said this: I miss her more than ever, as it's just longer and longer since I last saw her. I have an overwhelming need to see her at times, and there's always a background sadness she's so longer here. But she's not gone. She's just gone ahead. She's not gone. She's just gone ahead. Living lives boasting about Jesus doesn't result in an end. It results in a hope that goes far beyond the grave. And wherever we are in our lives, whether we are 2, 10, 85, and everywhere in between, we can have that hope because of what Jesus did on the cross for us all. He who knew no sin, who was perfect in every way, took on our sin that we might be free and one day be with him in glory. Amen. That's our boast. Jesus, that we will one day be with him in glory. Our call as believers is to serve God and boast about him. Now, if you're here today and have never asked for forgiveness from Jesus, then I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that in a moment. But for those of us who are believers, I want to encourage you this week to take an opportunity to boast about Jesus. It could be something simple, like sharing of a colleague, that you're grateful that Jesus saved you because you get to be part of a church family. You could offer to pray with a neighbour because you know that Jesus hears our prayers. You could share how you came to know Jesus with a friend and how it changed your life. Because if you're giving your life to Jesus, your life has not been the same from that point. And I believe really passionately that if all of us here made these sort of things part of our day-to-day habits, I believe we'd see more and more people finding Jesus for the first time. And I believe that's what Jesus called us to do. We, as people, don't want to get caught up in appearances and the vain things of this world. We want to be people who are devoted to Jesus and will follow him wherever he might call us. As I was just praying this morning, I'm going to read a small passage from 1 Corinthians 13. You might know it, you might have heard it at weddings, but one of the ways Jesus told us to live is this way of love. And I think these are really powerful words that, yeah, people use it at weddings, but actually it's for the body, how we love each other. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. I'm going to pray, and then I think we'll have a final song. And as I pray, I'll give an opportunity for those who might want to give their life to Jesus for the first time to do so. And if you do that this morning, then I'm sure Nick, myself, or Bob would love to have a chat with you just to help you on that journey of finding Jesus. But let me pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love us. Thank you so much that you came to this earth, you lived a perfect life, and you took our sin and our shame. There might be a moment here where you want to just, in your heart, confess any sins before the Lord. Things that you know are not glorifying him. And Jesus, we thank you that because of your death and your resurrection, that our sins can no longer be counted against us when we put our trust in you. Thank you for that amazing work, that miracle that we get to walk free because of your punishment, because of your sacrifice. I pray, Lord, would you help us to boast in you, Lord? Let us not get caught up in the vain things of this earth. Let us not get caught in what the world might look as good, Lord. Let us not get caught about legalistic things, but help us to live lives that glorify you. Help us to be a boastful people, Lord, about you. Let people notice the thing that we boast about most is you, Jesus. Pray you'd help us. We need your help so much, Lord. Pray that we might know you closely and dearly in this time. Amen. 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 Thanks for letting me share with you.